Hi, welcome back to the DevOps Lab. I'm Damian Brady, and I'm joined today by Simon Waite. Simon, thanks for coming. What are we talking about?
We're going to be talking about how we can use VSTS release management and build to deploy Azure functions into consumption and service plans.
Awesome. Don't miss it. Hey everybody, welcome back to the DevOps Lab. I am joined this time by a good friend of mine, Simon Waite. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Damien. Thanks for having me.
So we actually live pretty close to each other. You're in Sydney, I'm in Newcastle in Australia. So we live about 2 hours from each other, but just like most Aussies, we only see each other when we're in a totally different country.
Oh, absolutely, best way.
Exactly, yeah, we get to travel, you know, for many, many hours. So we're here at the MVP Summit still. We've interviewed a few people while we've been here. You're an MVP or Microsoft Most Valuable Professional in Azure, right?
Correct, yep.
So you focus a little bit on, judging by the shirt, Azure Functions and
yes.
things like that?
Yep. So I have a bit of a background in doing application lifecycle management as well. So
yep.
I like Visual Studio Team Services a lot. So
awesome.
Thought today we could talk about Visual Studio Team Services doing Azure Functions deployments.
Yeah, definitely. So a lot of the problems when we do talks, and I'm very, very guilty of this as well, is that we'll do talks showing how to deploy to Azure and we go to websites, and it's always just websites.
Yep.
But there's so much, like there's hundreds of different features in Azure and we don't really talk about those so much. Websites are really easy to kind of deploy, but Azure Functions, we're also talking about how awesome they are, but not really showing how that process works
yep.
when we're doing a CI/CD
yep.
pipeline.
Yep.
So you're going to show us today a CI/CD pipeline that'll do a few things deploying Azure Functions, right?
Correct, yeah. So set the scene, I guess. We're going to use source control in GitHub.
Great.
To show we've got that extensibility for Team Services. We're going to use the build feature in Team Services to pick up changes from that GitHub repository,
mm-hmm.
compile them, turn them into a bundle that we can deploy into App Service. And then taking that bundle, we're going to use release management in Visual Studio Team Services to actually control the deployment into our target
right.
Azure App Service instances. And on top of that, we're also going to do a couple of other things. We're going to write the application settings
yep.
For those individual functions so that we can control certain things like connection strings when we're deploying our functions. And we're also going to register in Application Insights the actual deployed function so that we can get a release marker in our timeline so that if we deploy broken code, which we do periodically,
yep.
We can actually see that the deployment was the source or may have been the source of that
right.
break.
Which is really handy for diagnosing things mm-hmm. later on.
Absolutely. Look, you know, when you get to CI/CD pipelines, it's really about having that telemetry so you can actually see almost in real time the fact that actually that last continuous deployment I did may have been suspect and I need to go back and take a look at what it was that I did wrong.
Awesome. All right, well, let's jump in.
Yep.
Show me the process that we've got so far.
Okay, so I've kind of gone ahead and pre-baked a bunch of stuff to save us a bit of time.
Yep.
There's a GitHub repository which anybody can go away and take a look at after they've had a look through this session.
Mm-hmm. I'll put the link to that in the show notes as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
I've got a predefined CI build that's connected to that GitHub repository, so we can see the repository type on this build definition is marked as GitHub with a little GitHub symbol.
Awesome.
And then I have a release management definition. So you can see here that there's a bunch of single green ticks up to release 5, and then release 5 I thought I'd do something a bit dangerous just before we got together and deploy to a second environment at the same time. So
nice. Okay.
Just to push the envelope a bit, we're going to show you that you can deploy to a function app running on App Service plans, which
right.
is kind of the turn it on, pay for it, reserve the capacity for the function to run. And we're also going to deploy to a consumption plan, which is a on-demand model where you only pay for the time that the function actually runs.
Right, okay.
So slightly different use cases, but interesting to show that you can use this pipeline approach to deploy to both of those if you want to.
Yeah, definitely. So where do we start? The code is in GitHub. We'll
yep.
put the link down there as well.
Yep.
And then the next step, build, right? Continuous
yep.
integration
yep.
build?
So I've got Visual Studio down on my machine, everyone's favorite developer tool.
Excellent.
What I've done with this particular piece of code is I have a timer function here. So a timer function is just a function that can run at a particular period in time. So it uses a cron style of definition. So this one will run every 10 seconds.
Yep.
I've made some changes to this code. So what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to commit this up into GitHub. So I'm going to go into my changes, and I'm going to do this commit. Won't break anything.
Great
honestly.
Commit message.
Yeah. Yep. Badly, I'm going to do commit all and sync because I just want to push that straight out to GitHub. Normally, I might do some local testing first before I do that, but yep. As is always the way with demos, we want to shortcut the process a little bit. So this is currently syncing my code changes out to the GitHub repository.
Awesome.
What we'll find if we go back to our CI build, so we'll see we've already got an in-progress build here. So the registration of Visual Studio against the GitHub repositories picked up the fact that there was a change up in that repository. If we go and have a look at this definition, we won't wait around for the logs to complete. Hopefully this will open. Okay, so what we're seeing here is we're using just the standard hosted Visual Studio 2017 build agent. So when a build agent gets spun up, there's a whole bunch of prerequisites that get loaded down onto the host. We'll have a look at the build tasks that we have associated with this in a minute. But literally, it's a matter of pulling down some NuGet tooling, restoring the NuGet packages that are related to the project, then actually compiling them and creating the artifact, which is actually the element that gets deployed by release management. The template that we use for this particular build is just a standard template, and it's actually part of the way that the functions team recommends that you do deployments at the moment. You can go in and either start with an empty build definition, or you can choose the ASP.NET Core .NET framework build type. So that's still using the full .NET framework, but it's using some of the .NET Core components when it's actually doing the build. So things like the way that NuGet's being handled here is very much a .NET Core way of doing things.
Okay.
I've removed a couple of tasks in this build definition because I don't need things like symbols or to run tests at this point.
Sure.
But it will have hopefully finished by now, so we can go back and have a look at this.
So this is a template that is defined by Microsoft.
And correct.
So it's basically here's how you might build a function or ASP.NET or app or something like that. And there is, I'm guessing you said there's a walkthrough or some kind of documentation.
Correct. So I guess the reason I chose this scenario for today is that this is covered in a blog by the team. So it's not in the official documentation per se, but if you go and have a look at deploying functions using Visual Studio Team Services Release Management, it will walk you through some of this process. So today is really about visualizing some of that.
Perfect.
Traditionally, we did functions using things like Kudu webhook deployments out of source control. The benefit of doing it using Release Management is we get a bit more control over when we deploy into environments, deploying things like configuration and determining things like application insights instances to register against. So
perfect.
This is a standard definition with some steps removed.
Let's have a look and see if that build's completed.
So I didn't make any changes, so we can leave that page.
That one always worries me, that pop-up. Like, did I change something? Maybe I changed something.
That's succeeded. You will note here that there is a particular version number for this solution. That's not a standard VSTS build number. I've made some changes to this so that I can do a little bit more of a semantic versioning approach to this.
Okay.
I can post details on my blog later about the way we've done that and the reason why I do it this way.
Yeah.
But we'll see later that there's some benefit to doing that. But we'll have a look at that in a minute.
Cool.
All right, so that build's completed. Now, with this build, I have automatically set release management up to just automatically go ahead and deploy.
Yep.
One of the benefits of release management is I could do things like have pre-approval. So someone might have to approve deploying to an environment, or maybe I just want to do CD into my test integration environment and then have approval for production.
Yep.
Today, we're just going to push it straight through the pipeline. So let's go and have a look and see what's happened in our release management definition.
Great.
So we'll just refresh this page. All right, so that's actually still in progress, which is really good. So we can see visually on this screen that we're deploying to our first environment. That's that little blue rectangle with the white arrow. And then the gray box is basically saying that's pending. In an ideal world, we'd be doing these in parallel because they're separate environments. But because I'm running a single build agent pipeline, it's literally just using the agent to do one deployment. And then when that's finished, it'll do the second deployment.
Okay.
Let's go have a look and look at that release definition because this is actually where some of the interesting stuff happens. So that's our pipeline view of the world. So we have our continuous integration build as the artifact there. And then we're automatically deploying to both a service plan environment and a consumption plan environment.
Yeah.
This is really useful, and I think it's part of the power of release management, is that actually we don't have to have the same build tasks for both of those environments.
Yep.
So this is our service plan environment, and you'll see if I just click on this drop down again. There we are. You'll see that we have, so these are two environments. One's called service plan, one's called consumption plan, and actually I could have almost entirely different tasks as part of this.
Yep.
As it is for our functions, they're effectively the same. So if we change between the two, they'll look the same. And you know, you may be looking at this online and wondering, well, where's the difference? Well, the difference is actually in the configuration. So the app service instances that we're choosing to deploy to is different for each of these two.
Right.
And the variables that we set when we deploy into those instances is different as well, because they're talking to different things like different application insights instances, and maybe talking to, say, different upstream services as well.
Right. So one of the things that's interesting about this pipeline as well is you're deploying to two environments at that same level of the pipeline.
Yep.
So yeah, if we have a look at that pipeline, a lot of the time what you see is, you know, a deployment to a dev environment and then a staging environment and then a production environment and so on. But if you're deploying to a couple of locations and you need to do it at the same time, then yeah, it's completely possible to do that. And it's really just restricted by the agents you're using and the agent pools you're using.
Correct, like correct. So I've used scenarios where we'll do multi-region deployment of the same application in Azure.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have deployed to our secondary region that's not receiving traffic,
right.
Run our smoke test on that deployment. If that deployment passes and is green, we'll automatically kick off the deployment to our primary region that's hosting the workload.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that we've got a great deal of success, well, we've got a high likelihood that we'll have a successful deployment because our secondary region was successful.
Yeah.
And if it failed, we're not going to even touch our primary region. So we've kind of stopped ourselves from, you know, running ourselves off a cliff at that point, which is good. We're not doing that here. Here we're deploying to both concurrently.
Yep.
I will quickly show you what the difference is between the two.
Yeah.
So we're using service principles. So you'll see here we have it's called service principle for demo. It says Azure subscription. When you set up a service principle, you can give it a name. Service principle is just a special type of user that you can deploy into the environment with.
Yeah.
Because we've selected function app as the type we're going to deploy to, so that's a standard feature of the deploy Azure app service task that we've used, which is in the box with Visual Studio Team Services.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've chosen the app service name. So this is the actual function app for our service plan. That's the name.
So just for my curiosity, can we just have a look at the other things that are in that dropdown for the app type? Because this is one of the misconceptions. You know, it's web app, but web app, Linux app, function app, API, mobile app.
Yep.
So all of these things with that same template.
Yep.
Awesome. Okay.
Yep.
Just a bit of a derail you slightly there.
That's okay. That's fine. And really, so I'll only walk through one of these, but we'll quickly show you just the main difference between the two. So the consumption plan, you'll see it's maybe a little bit subtle to notice, but you'll see that the app service name is different in this case.
Right. Yes.
So we don't have to set a lot of context because we've already told this particular configuration that, hey, we want to deploy to a function app.
Mm-hmm.
So that deploy to Azure app service task has some smarts built into the implementation that says, well, I'm only looking for apps of type function app.
Yep.
So it will enumerate all of the function apps in your subscription that you've connected it to. Great thing with service principle is I could actually set that service principle up to only have scope on either a resource group in Azure or a set of resource groups. And at that point, I would only be able to choose app service instances hosted in those resource groups.
And that's really handy for larger organizations that are doing a lot of stuff with Azure.
Yep.
And small, you know, you don't want everybody or every team to see every single website or every single function app that you're using. Yeah.
Yeah, and even dev test, you know, you might only want people to be able to select on their own to deploy into a dev environment or to only be able to deploy to test, and then they can't see production at all, even if it's in the same subscription. Very powerful, and it's an idea that a lot of people still struggle with, right? They're still very much in the traditional mode of it's a subscription level view of the world only, whereas resource groups really, really bring that in.
Yeah, nice.
Just conscious of time, so we've got kind of the two function apps set up.
Yep.
Then everything else looks pretty much the same. Another great point about VSTS here is that write app settings for function task and that hit version API task right. are two marketplace tasks.
Right.
So they're not actually out of the box with Visual Studio Team Services. I can go to a marketplace and I can choose from any number of additional capabilities I want to add into either my build agent or my release management agent.
Yep.
And these two are literally, one is doing writing app settings for the function app, and the other one is then making a simple HTTP web request to our function.
Yeah. That smoke test one, I use that all the time.
Yeah.
It's an awesome way, especially with ASP.NET applications, of just spinning the thing up before you go
and
further.
And to be honest, with functions, that's also, you know, a potential use case for it as well. Here we're not using it like that, but if you do want to effectively do some form of warm-up of a function app, even if it's not a HTTP app, you can put a HTTP endpoint in the app as a particular type, protect it with a key, which we've done here. And then on deployment with release management, you just put a task in that says, just go and hit this URL.
Yeah.
And effectively, you've got a warmed up function app at that point.
Awesome.
Here, we're just using it as a, did we deploy something? Has it broken anything?
Awesome. Well, let's have a look at this in process, I guess.
So the other one last thing we'll have a look at is just the, we have, these are the variables per particular environment. So you can see here we have release, which would be a value that that's set across every type of environment we're going to deploy into.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have per environment values. You'll see here that there's duplicated values for each of the environments. So we're doing things like setting the App Insights application and API key, which allows us to register the deployment in App Insights.
Yep.
You'll notice we also set some default out-of-the-box function app settings here, like things like the Azure Web Jobs dashboard and the Web Jobs storage.
Yep.
Reason we do that is that when we write the app settings with the task that we're using, we have it configured to overwrite all settings.
Okay.
And the reason that we do that is that way we can cut out those manual edits.
Yep.
We can control it from here. So
So these variables, this is scoped to the service plan. There'll be a duplicate one scoped to the consumption plan.
Correct.
So the process will go through and do those, and then depending on which environment it's deploying to, it'll use different values.
Correct. And you can see the top one is start out, and that's because it's a private value. We want to protect that.
Yep.
We can actually use Azure Key Vault to do that if we want to. That's for another discussion. I've left a lot showing here, so it's easy for people to see the values that are here.
Yeah.
So let's just go back, and those releases should have been placed. Oh. One environment failed. There we are.
That's
there we are. It's a live demo. We show that it's not totally pre-canned. I knew I shouldn't have changed it at the last minute, but that's okay. All right, so let's open this up, and we can maybe see a little bit more about why that failed.
Yeah, it might be interesting to see what's the difference between those two environments. One succeeded, one failed.
So the successful one was our service plan. The one that failed was our consumption plan.
Mm-hmm.
We can see that the area here was failed to enable rename locked files. Failed to fetch Kudu app settings. So that may be that when I've deployed the app previously, I may not have deployed all the app settings that were required.
Uh-huh.
And when it's tried to redeploy over the top, it's just, for whatever reason, the receiving app service has just panicked and gone, nope, I can't take this.
Right.
The good news is that consumption plan function app would still be running at this point. All right, so we've opened the release up here, and we can see actually the full stream for both environments.
Right.
We can see the tasks that were run. So we have the deploy app service app there, and then we have the setting of the app settings, and we have the version API call at the end. If we have a look at these tasks, so that the right-hand side log shows up, it gives us a view of some of the internals of the way this custom task was written.
Yeah.
But we can see that it's written these app settings out to the remote function app. The way it's doing that is just using some API magic under the covers with commandlets.
Yep.
And then the last step for this is to hit the API version, which is just making a very simple HTTP request, which is calling a HTTP endpoint published as part of the function app, mm-hmm. and then passes in a key, which is generated automatically when you create a function app.
Right.
Okay. So that's the process.
Yeah.
Conscious of time, so, you know.
Yeah. Just to summarize what we've got, you've got your function in source control, and we saw that right at the start. And it's in GitHub as well. It doesn't have to be VSTS, which is kind of awesome. Every time you make a change, that build will happen automatically. And then this release, in your case, you're deploying to two different function instances, one which is consumption plan and one which is service plan.
Correct.
But the important thing here is that functions are like an out-of-the-box option, which is really cool. So it's not just web apps.
No, you have a lot of flexibility with this. And if you think of app service as a general container that you can deploy a lot of things to, you can use some of these patterns we've seen here today, like writing into app settings and potentially hitting API endpoints. We haven't looked at the App Insight stuff, but you can do that as well. Those approaches can be used across the whole app service stack, so very flexible, and like you said, you know, even from places like GitHub as well.
Yeah,
so it's cool.
Which is awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for showing us this. It's really important to know that it's not just web apps. You can't just say, well, I can't use that because I'm using functions.
Yep.
There's definitely a place for this kind of process.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'll try and get the full documentation for this up on my blog.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to follow along, and I'll add a link into the GitHub repository as well.
Awesome.
Out to the blog that covers that when I get around to it.
Sweet. So. And we'll have a bunch of show notes as well.
Yep.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks everyone for joining us, and stay tuned for more DevOps Labs episodes in the future. Thanks.